Once again,
hit him with it.
We're back. It's a little pocket awareness.
A little excitement right now.
A little excitement. We had the draft.
Woo, Marcus.
Oh man, it got a little crazy. You have to put the top.
Yeah, but a lot of this we had already discussed. We discussed what would happen at one.
Uh-huh.
We discussed that there was a chance that something weird would happen with Mr. Jones.
Yes.
We discussed the fact that Haskins could slip.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see anything that we didn't address.
And that's why you got to hit the subscribe button.
That's why you got to hit the subscribe button.
So go ahead, subscribe on iTunes. Follow us there. Then go ahead and download us on Spotify. Check us out there. Follow me at TheMarkJohnNFL. Got a lot of Raiders breakdowns going down there.
I'll hit you with the casual little quarterback awareness at King Manelos.
Yeah.
I felt a little feisty during the draft.
Yeah, you felt a little feistiness?
I felt a little feisty during the draft. I thought that I started to break down a little bit in that that top 15 there about what was going on.
Yeah.
Pick by pick.
Okay.
I really enjoyed myself when I tweeted about the Giants and how they were like that kid that you knew in college.
Yeah.
Who needed a 93 on the exam to pass the class.
Uh-huh.
But he got an 89. Like, he was close. Like, the way that they handled their second and third pick in the first round, they tried to, like, make everybody feel better. But the way they handled six, Marcus, the way they handled six, they didn't pass. I got to retake the test.
Man, it's sad. It was a sad day for Giants fans. I'm sure they're pretty upset about it. But
Twitter was great, though.
Twitter was great.
Some of those reactions were just incredible.
See, I wasn't shocked, though.
Oh, I was. I couldn't believe that was a decision.
I wasn't shocked.
That really bogged me. And then the more they talked about it, the way Gettleman was talking about it. We'll get there. Let's start at the top.
All right, so what we're covering today, we're going to be reviewing mostly all the draft quarterbacks, see where they went, talk about their fits, what this means for where they went. And we're going to start at the top and go all the way to the bottom. It was about how many quarterbacks were taken.
I mean, we'll really discuss probably about six.
I mean, six.
We'll really get into about six of them.
Maybe seven. There's 10 taken.
And then we'll hit you with
which is more than I thought for this class. I didn't know there would be 10 taken.
Well, not only that, some of the ones that got
and Trace drafted, McSorley.
We got a little work to do here.
Trace McSorley got drafted in the sixth, too. I know. Not even in the seventh. Damn. Manny Wilkins had to be mad at home. He's probably just mad. Just thinking.
I'm mad.
Trace McSorley.
I'm mad, Marcus.
Or Brett Rippey. Brett Rippey is like, I was just as good as Kellen Moore. And I'm taller. Trace McSorley. Brett Rippey was probably heated.
You know heated. What dad was?
Oh, yeah.
You know his dad's a little upset.
Well, that's not his dad. It's his uncle.
Oh, I thought that was his dad.
No, that's his uncle.
Well, his sister's got a better arm anyway. Technically, it's his cousin. His cousin's got a better arm.
That's terrible, bro. I mean, Rippin, you know, he can anticipate. He can anticipate really nice. You know what I'm saying? He can read a field. Go through his reads. Just, you know, just ain't got that arm. It's okay. It's all right, man.
His cousin's got a better arm.
Oh, my God.
She'd light it up.
That's awful, man. All right, so let's start off the top. The, you know, big name quarterback, the Heisman Trophy winner.
The pick that we told you was going to happen.
It was going to happen.
We told everybody. We've been telling them for months now, Marcus.
For months.
This isn't news. We've been breaking it down for you. This was an awful decision by the Cardinals organization, but there's potential here.
There is.
There's potential here.
There is potential.
But I don't see the GM and the head coach lasting.
You don't see the GM and the head coach lasting?
Nope.
How long do you... Oh, okay, so let's think about this. All right, so Kyler Murray went number one.
This is a three-year project.
Number one, Kyler Murray out of Oklahoma. 5'10", 207 pounds.
207 pounds, not his playing weight. That's just his bulk-up weight.
That's what he is.
That's his bulk-up weight. Yeah, he's gonna play at 198. Okay, that's what he's gonna play at 198.
We can get this as semantics. That's fine. He is gonna play a little slimmer, but he's 5'10". I mean, he's 5'10". I think it was 1/8. Yeah, he's barely made it. I mean,
He got there.
He barely made it. But I mean, as soon as he hit that box, he was going number one.
As soon as they hit that box,
it was over.
He was one.
It was over.
It was done. He was number one.
I know Steve Keim said I didn't watch him till March.
I listened to Steve Keim in his interview with Dan Patrick, and I was like, oh, shut up. He was talking the talk, saying all the right things. No. Yeah. No, I'm not going to take that.
It wasn't Cliff's decision.
I'm not going to take that.
I just watched a tape and I just saw 100 wild throws. This is what he told. I think it was Peter King. Did you read his article with Peter King?
No, I did everything to stay away from this. I didn't want to hear from Steve Keim because I knew everything that he was going to say was garbage.
Yeah,
it was just a line and then a line and then a line. He told Dan Patrick that he didn't watch film
until March.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
I was doing free agency, so.
I didn't want to fall in love with the guy. What? I already got a quarterback. I don't want to fall in love with him. Get out of here.
See, because the Raiders are the same thing. The Raiders watched those quarterbacks, too, and they stuck with their quarterback. So the Raiders brought them into a visit. Both of them. Had them both fly out for a visit.
Well, you have to do your due diligence.
Well, I get that, but that's my point. Like, the way Keim kind of went about it, it was like, oh, my God, I didn't want to watch him because I didn't want to pick him. Like,
I didn't want to pick him.
Well, that's a great talent. Man.
I don't want to. Don't make me. Okay, I'll do it.
You know, like, it was.
Get out of here.
Shut up. You're right, Chris.
I don't want to hear that. With you on that. Really don't want to hear that. I really don't want to hear that.
Oh, man, that is just.
They knew. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Well, that's a bad organization.
They knew exactly what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And is the pressure on?
The pressure is on.
You don't have a coach last year that you bring in and you fire immediately.
Yes.
Immediately. He barely lasts the season.
See, I think they set up Steve Wilkes really to fail, though, man. That's my problem, because you gave Mike McCoy. They hired, like, Steve Keim hired Mike McCoy. Steve Wilkes did not hire Mike McCoy. You know what I mean? That's just ugly. You know, that's Steve Keim's fault.
Everything's been, from day one.
Yeah.
It's been just awful. It's been, everything has gone south for the organization the second that Carson Palmer got hurt again.
I agree. As soon as Carson Palmer was out, the whole organization changed.
They couldn't keep anybody on the field.
But, I mean, it's only been – I mean, okay, so they lost Carson. There's only been one season since they lost Carson. They had a I really feel like this draft with the way they went with wide receivers and, you know, Cliff Kingsbury wants to draft like 800 wide receivers and have 800 wide receivers on the field. I get it. Whatever. But if they had the same draft, if they, let's say they're number one, right? They take Quinn and Williams. Okay. But then they still come back to, they get Byron Murphy.
No. I can't even support that.
Check out this draft. I want you to check out the draft though, Chris.
If they go Williams.
Yeah. They went Williams, right? They still get all these guys. They still get Byron Murphy. Okay. They still get Andy Isabella because they reached on him anyways.
Mm-hmm.
They still could have got Zach Allen. They still could have got Hakeem Butler, obviously, because he fell out to the fourth.
I mean, they got him.
Right? They still could have got Deontay Thompson. They still get Keyshawn Johnson out of Fresno State. Mm-hmm. Like, their draft doesn't change. And that would be a whole lot better options for Josh Rosen. But
agreed.
Kingsbury wanted Kyler Murray. I was reading on the Peter Keegan thing was a big thing for me because – you know, he offered him a scholarship when he was 5'5", the Texas Tech. He saw a 5'5 quarterback and offered him a scholarship. I think that's insane to me.
I think with those kids, with those kids, you assume that they're going to grow.
Yeah,
You assume that they're going to grow.
Yeah, that's a big assumption.
You don't think they're going to grow 5 inches.
That's a big assumption.
You think you're going to get at least 7 or 8 inches out of him, not just 5.
I just would have been like, why is he playing quarterback? I think that's what every other scholar scout thought. But I mean,
Marcus, I still have a problem. If you do things the right way for this organization, and we talked about this.
Yeah.
One, you pick Quinton Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Two, we said N'Keal Harry, but Harry went the pick before.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me as an organization with what they do in the NFL and having feelers out there,
mm-hmm.
you're going to tell me that you didn't know the Patriots were going to take N'Keal Harry at 32, the pick before you? You didn't know that? You couldn't trade back into the first round?
Yeah, Steve Kine wasn't ready. And maybe they wanted Brian Murphy the whole time. Maybe they didn't want Harry.
Well, you know why they wanted Murphy? And this is another downfall organization.
Yeah.
They're done with Patrick Peterson. They drafted
him. They can't
him.
Do that because Murray they're can't play. Murphy can't play press.
They're going to do that.
He's an off corner. So unless they're, I guess
this is what they're going to do, Mark.
I guess the coordinator is playing off corner. They are playing a little more off coverage, but you got to play press in the NFL at some point.
I agree with you, but the intention of drafting him where they drafted him is to replace Patrick Peterson because of the drama going on with him right now.
Which is, I mean,
it is a blatant statement to the NFL that Patrick Peterson is available and we screwed up with Rosen, so you know that we can't value our players.
Oh,
so
man.
So you're going to get Patrick Peterson for nothing.
Patrick Peterson would be so good in Gunther's scheme. I'm just thinking about it right now.
I'm telling you right now, Patrick Peterson doesn't make the Cardinals roster opening
give
day.
Give up that
gone.
Third 2020.
He's gone.
Gruden, Mayock, go ahead. Give up the third 2020. He's a grinder too, man.
He's gone.
Just
he's
do
not
it.
A Cardinal.
Just do it.
They're moving on. That's why they drafted the way that they did. Because if they were smart and making the right decision, if you're going to go Kyler Murray number one,
yeah,
then you go and get his left tackle, who is sitting right there with your pick, your first pick in the second round. You protect the man that you're going to pay.
Well, they think they got Marcus Gilbert and DJ Humphreys.
Have any of them proven that they can handle an entire
season? I mean,
Marcus
Gilbert gets hurt. Justin Pugh gets hurt. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to
they
watch.
They need the depth on the offensive line. They might have done some things through free agency, but they still need more depth.
They haven't done anything really to the offensive line.
No,
besides
and
Marcus
while
Gilbert.
They added some nice pieces on the receiver end
yeah.
that make you go, oh, maybe there's a chance here. The wide receiver position does not develop in the NFL
that quickly
until year three. You do not get a bona fide star wide receiver in year one.
Especially out of UMass.
Especially out of anywhere.
Especially UMass.
You want to talk about these guys that are monsters in the NFL. Antonio Brown, what did he do his first year? Nobody knew his name. What did he do
kicks.
His second year? I think he kicked a punter in the face in his second year.
Well, his second year, I think he got like 900 yards. And then
But the third year is where he broke out.
Exactly.
That's how it works in the NFL. Davante Adams had an okay rookie year.
Yeah.
Had a miserable second year.
Yeah.
Third year.
Breaks out. Now he's one of the best route runners in the NFL.
He's a top five receiver
yeah.
in the NFL.
That's a stretch, but it's...
I don't think it's a stretch.
It is.
That's not a
it
stretch.
It is. It's a stretch,
I'm
Chris.
Not gonna say that's a stretch.
Different day, different topic. That's a stretch.
Okay.
It's okay.
Well, okay. Well, different day, different topic. We'll go down that road. I don't think it's a stretch, but...
I know you don't, but...
But when we have that conversation, I'll throw plenty of numbers at you, sir. I'll throw plenty of numbers at you.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you. But this is what it is. With the wide receiver position, if your expectation is that you need them to be successful, it's not happening right away.
Yeah. See, Chris, you got to read that article, man, because just the way that he's talking about it, they're going to run a wide offense. I mean, they're really like, I'm like, damn, you're really going air raid, air raid. And I was like, oh, I thought we're going to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's why they drafted Kyler Murray, because Rosen cannot run the air raid.
But he's going five wide. I'm like, we're going to do a lot of five wide? You're going to do a lot of five wide in the NFL and just leave Murray by himself? Like, what are you doing?
And that's pure ridiculousness, because you have David Johnson on this roster.
See, but David Johnson, you could, if for a passing team that's going to pass a lot, I think
you can incorporate him like he's a Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield. But then you have to run the right formations to make that effective.
Oh, man.
You have to give him the ball to make that effective.
For them
That's exactly what I'm saying. They did nothing to address the main problems that they're going to have trying to run this offense with a 5'10" quarterback, rookie quarterback. Five wins.
Rookie, whose main issue always had on tape was his post-snap processing. That's his biggest issue.
They're going to do everything they can to get the ball out of his hands immediately.
Immediately.
But everybody's going to run a press defense on them, and he's not going to be able to do it. He'll drift in the pocket. He's going to start looking for passing lanes. Next thing you know, he's going to go against what he's done his entire college career, which was he doesn't want to run, to he's going to become a run-first quarterback because he can't see shit.
Yeah.
This is gonna completely throw him off, and he's going to end up owing the Cardinals money because he's going to go to baseball.
Because one thing that we talked about, I saw Sean O'Hara talk about, was short quarterbacks, that they always have pretty good guards. And
you have to. They have to open up that passing lane.
Exactly. He's always had really good guards. It's going to be interesting, man. I'm interested. I'm interested because I really like Kyler. I think Kyler.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I think Kyler could have. I don't think he is an air raid guy how Kingsbury thinks he is. That's my thing. I think that what Kingsbury really wants out of him and the positions that he's going to put him in, I think is going to make Kyler a little uncomfortable. I think Lincoln Riley's air raid is a completely different animal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they run the ball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just sit there and pass. They run the ball a lot. They do a lot of play action. They don't just do RPOs. They do pure play actions.
Yes.
They do a lot of more pro concepts than the average air raid. That's why Baker Mayfield didn't have that bad of an adjustment. And that's what I don't think Kyler Murray would have that bad of an adjustment. But the full air raid in the NFL
doesn't work, man.
Oh, my. I don't know.
The guys in the secondary are too fast.
This
is
going to be crazy.
They're too fast.
I'm interested.
I'm telling you, Kyler Murray is going to win two games on his own.
Yeah.
And just the way that everything else falls the rest of the season,
yeah,
as a team, they'll win three.
See,
five wins.
I think they're going to come out hot.
They'll come out hot, and you'll see them do well at the beginning of the season.
Score a lot
and
of
he'll
points.
Get two or three wins early. They'll be like 3-1, and then they'll win two more games the rest of the season.
I mean, it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting. I'm very intrigued by the Cardinals. I just want to see it. I want to see if he really comes out with the five wide, and you know, he does all his funky screens, and he's supposed to be like this game plan guy, and like he's like, because he played for the Patriots, so they consider him like a big time like game plan player, and kind of switch it up like Belichick does. So like, you know, Belichick switches it up every single time
every point that he plays.
Basically, was what I'm trying to say.
That's the
every point that he plays, he switches it up.
That's the only team in the NFL that will change their game plan.
He's supposed to be the same way.
He couldn't. The man didn't have a 500 win percentage in college, and you brought him to the NFL, and you brought him to the NFL to recruit this guy to be their number one pick. That's what they did. That's why they brought him in. If you're not going to let the team develop and grow under a one head coach after one season, 2 years, Marcus, this is over in 2 years. The Cliff Kingsbury experience is over.
I think they gave him three. I think Keim is out after 2 years.
If Keim is out after 2 years, there's no way Kingsbury stays. The next GM that comes in is going to pick his own guy. If Keim is out, Kingsbury's gone.
Let's talk about something else with Kyler Murray that I talked about him dropping, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if he didn't, the Cardinals didn't get picked. So, you know, I'm also reading like Albert Breer, his Monday morning quarterback on Monday, and then of course is Peter King.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people had these draft boards posted about their quarterbacks, and he was 4 for a lot of teams. And I don't know, you know, teams just might just fake their draft boards, but you know, like the John Elway, Drew Locke was number 1 on his board for the whole time.
Sure.
Right. The Panthers, who we'll get to about to talk about Will Greer a little bit, they had Greer ahead of Murray. You know, obviously the Giants weren't taking Murray. So where does he go at that point? Like, why didn't nobody have him?
He'll come back around to the Cardinals. I'm telling you right now. he would have came back around and been the Cardinals eventually.
See, why didn't the Cardinals have a feel for that? I think that's something you got to have a feel for, right? Like, you have to know, because, you know, just talking about Mike Mayock, right? Like, they did a big thing about Mike Mayock, too. Peter King did, because he went to the draft room on Friday, and he talked about how Mayock was patient with a lot of things. Like, he wanted Josh Jacobs. But John Gruden, he's an idiot. He's like, let's draft up to 16. Let's trade up with the Panthers and get him. And Mac's like, let's just chill. If he falls to us at 24, he falls to us at 24. If he doesn't, we go somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. And then they got a little, and then they really knew the Eagles wanted him. And the Eagles traded up, so they got super worried. But that's you know what I'm saying? That's a
sure.
Or awareness. Like, he knew that Josh Jacobs was going to fall to him. He knew what the other teams were going to do. He knew what exactly was going on in the draft, and they allowed those guys to fall to him. So then the Jonathan Abram falls to him too, because mm-hmm. he's like, I'm going to pick Jonathan Abram at 27. They're going to keep falling to me, keep falling. I don't have to reach and try to rush to get these guys. So that's what I'm – so you look at all the quarterbacks, people that need quarterbacks, right? You got John Elway. He's Drew Lock all the way.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm taking a quarterback, I'm taking Drew Lock.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants are Jones all the way. Like, you should have known that. Like, I really think that's something that a lot of people in the league knew, that they were Jones. Because the Raiders tried to trade out too, and nobody wanted to trade up for Haskins or nothing like that, because they knew that mm-hmm. Haskins was going to fall to mm-hmm. them if mm-hmm. they wanted him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why does Steve Keim not know that? How does he not know that the rest of the NFL is not as high as Murray as he is, and that he doesn't have to take him at one?
You know why? I think the rest of the NFL knew. Marcus, we talked about it. We knew.
Yeah.
We knew.
Yeah.
I think the rest of the NFL knew.
That was coming out of the combine survey saying the Cardinals.
They just knew. They knew. Nobody was worried about it because they knew exactly what Steve Keim was going to do. I think that's how it played out. He had his blinders on so hard, and he made his decision right away.
It's crazy, man.
It really is. And you know what? That transitions perfectly to our next quarterback that went.
Which is Mr. Daniel Jones, who I talked about in the last podcast. I didn't have my top five. But I knew that he was going to be picked by the Giants.
Marcus.
Before Haskins. I knew it.
Sitting there going, what ever goes through somebody's mind to make this type of a decision? Like, it doesn't make sense. I can't process it. I couldn't process it because everything made sense in my mind for the Giants to go get Rosen.
Okay.
Everything made sense. What doesn't make sense to me is, why do you take this guy? So I'm sitting here going, okay, there's an Eli and Peyton connection. Is that big of a deal?
Damn, yeah.
It must have been. I'm sitting here going, okay, Gettleman, you're an old school guy. Why, if you're an old school guy, are you drafting a quarterback out of a school that is not a quarterback school if you're an old school guy?
Because of David Cutliffe.
I'm completely dumbfounded. There's an explanation, and he gave it. Did you hear his explanation?
I heard his explanation, Chris. Marcus, go ahead.
Marcus, I'm still in pure disbelief. And if I'm an owner and this is my GM, I'm just like, oh, I messed up. I messed up bad. He didn't watch him live. He didn't watch any film before the Senior Bowl.
Oh, no, he did watch him live. He watched him at the Senior Bowl game.
No. Yeah, okay. Before the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
This man fell in love watching Daniel Jones walk out of a locker room and onto a football field. He said, this man is a quarterback. All he did was watch him walk onto a football field. He made up his mind watching this boy walk onto a football field before he even threw a pass. He goes, I'm taking you at 6.
You look good.
You're
a good looking kid.
They didn't go through one practice. He made up his mind. And then he sat there and he watched him at the Senior Bowl and convinced himself that this was the right decision. How? Marcus.
He said that he watched him play 3 series during the Senior Bowl game, and he led 2 touchdowns, and he thought that was it. The quarterback he wanted to take. And I'm just thinking, they don't blitz in that game.
No, or it's the Pro Bowl. It's like they run a base defense. They can't blitz. There's no disguising anything.
It's a damn All-Star game.
Marcus.
He won Senior Bowl MVP, and I was like,
I
gotta take him.
I cannot believe this is real life. I cannot believe this is real life.
I don't get it. Like, I watched him plenty of time. I gave him plenty of chances. I watched a lot of his tape. You know, it's like I kind of get it because he does all right pre-snap, and he does full field reads. But I just don't think he's that smart of a quarterback, and he panics when his first read isn't there. So, yeah, if he doesn't have a clean pocket, and
he doesn't even have an arm.
I know I didn't get to that. I was going to get there.
Okay.
I'm
worked up, Marcus.
I get it. He doesn't have an arm, but I mean, I'm just talking about why they drafted him. They ignore the arm. They ignored it. They're ignoring the arm strength. They think it's good enough, to be honest. They're ignoring whatever they want to see. So I'm trying to figure out why they drafted him, because he stands tall in the pocket. He got some great mechanics. It's the mental thing. I don't think he's all the way there mentally. Dan Orlovsky did something the other day, how he's a guy that if what he thinks is going to be there isn't there, which is a big problem for me, it's called post-snap processing. Mm-hmm. He doesn't process very well post-snap, which is a big thing. And I don't think he processes very well pre-snap, to be honest. I think some of the things that he does is just he just doesn't know what he's doing or have a great feel for the quarterback position. I just don't think he's a good quarterback.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
That's why I would seriously take Finley over him any day of the week. At least I know what I'm getting with Finley, and Finley has a better feel for the position. He plays the position better. Daniel Jones, I don't know what they're projecting him to. Like, what do they think he's going to become? Like,
I think his ceiling is Chad Pennington.
Not even that. I don't even think that's not even fair. That's mean to Chad, I think. Chad was okay before he hurt his shoulder. I mean, he had the Jets fans. He was leading the Jets to the playoffs and stuff. Jets fans, that's probably one of their favorite guys.
Well, and so that's something else that I went off on a rampage on Twitter. This ruins Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is the new Barry Sanders.
Does Jones even see the field, though?
He'll see they have to put him on the field.
They're not going to, though.
Not this first year, no. This first year is Eli's swan song. But next year, they got to put him on the field. And this screws Saquon Barkley. He becomes Barry Sanders, at best, the New York Giants, within the next 5 years. They make the wild card game and win one playoff game. And Saquon Barkley retires early because he doesn't want to deal with this anymore. And the Giants will never give him up. He's the next Barry Sanders. He's the next Barry Sanders.
I'm not going to call him Barry Sanders because I got to see more from him before I even compare it to make that comparison.
That's what his career is going to be. He'll put the numbers up as a running back. He'll be incredible on the field, but at best, as a team, the Giants win one playoff game out of a wild card slot because they screwed the pooch when they took Daniel Jones.
I mean, you just don't take a quarterback that is not that talented, that high. I don't care what he can draw.
Marcus, it makes me feel even better to say they should have traded the 6th pick for Rosen. It makes me feel even better to say that out loud.
I think so. I mean, or just take Haskins.
I agreed. Well, Haskins was clearly the second best quarterback in this draft, and if you're going to draft a quarterback, if you're going to do that, he's the next one.
Yeah, take the one with the upside.
Yes.
To me,
who yes.
actually projects yes. to an actual NFL starter.
Yes.
No matter how you look at it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
like what were they watching? And that's why it's funny. Like, Haskins, like, you see that video, like, he like giggled.
Well, I mean, you heard his quote.
What did he say? I didn't hear his quote.
He said they screwed up.
Well, of course.
I mean, he just told them they're going to look back and this was the biggest mistake they ever made. He's going to say those 14 teams that passed on me.
I just don't know what they were looking at. They weren't looking at the film.
No, they looked at him coming out of the tunnel and walking onto the football field. And I bet you there were scouts in that draft room just going, please don't do this. Like he's, I'm curious how many scouts stayed in the organization after that.
He never played well in college. Like Josh Allen, like you could dissect his tape and decide whether he should have been a first round pick or not, and that's up to you. But his sophomore season was damn good, and I stick by that. It was first round worthy. So you could look at the season. He lost a couple players, and then you know he kind of you know went backwards a little bit, and you're like, okay. But that sophomore season was really what was really good. Like, you can't do that with Daniel Jones. Mm-mm. And also, he ain't got no cannon. He has no cannon.
There were not throws that he made where it was like, oh, my God.
It was his pro day because he was supposed to have the best pro day on the circuit. That was like the rumor. He had the best pro day on the circuit.
Well,
so I think
not,
his pro day
it's not
to
hard
to
compared to what the other guys were doing on their pro days.
Yeah.
Like, you got Dwayne missing everybody with his throws. You got Locke making up throws that are never going to be NFL throws. And you got Kyler who really didn't even have a pro day. Like,
yeah,
you have no competition on how your pro day is going
to
look.
Yeah. So yeah, Daniel Jones supposedly had the best player in the circuit. So I think that had a lot to do with it. But I just think the Giants are in trouble for years to come.
Well, I'll tell you what, the best value pick of the draft at 15 was Haskins.
Yeah.
The Redskins made the only decision that they could at that point.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you what. They got $20 million sunk into Alex Smith. They got $3.5 million sunk in to Case Keenum. With the rookie contract that they're going to have to put together, they're paying Haskins at least $3.5 million. At least $3.5 million. With his first year of his contract. We're talking about almost $30 million for the quarterback position alone for the Washington Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers isn't making $30 million next year. To decide that you're going to sink that much money into one position, Haskins has to perform immediately.
I think he will.
I don't.
I think he will. I think the same, he's actually, what's kind of crazy, and I saw some of this on Twitter, from a Redskins guy that he's going to be running the same offense that he ran in Ohio State.
Really? Gruden's going to change it?
Well, they run a lot of the same concepts already. Like he was showing like Alex Smith run the concept, and then he was showing Dwayne Haskins run the same concept at Ohio State. So I think that it's mentally he's going to be a lot ready to go. And that's my favorite thing about him is how good he is mentally.
Mentally, yeah.
If he comes in there, he has familiar schemes and his familiar situations and they do familiar things.
Well, here's going to be the thing for me. How he learns to throw to the tight end is going to be the biggest part of his development. Because you're right. The light bulb didn't even go off for me until you just started mentioning this. Alex Smith is not a big arm guy.
No, he's not.
And we had a big problem with the way that Haskins threw the ball down the field.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. This offense does suit him very well with the intermediate to short level passes.
Mm-hmm.
They improved at the running back position as well.
I mean, they still got guys coming back too, man.
So there's a lot to be optimistic about offensively.
Mm-hmm.
I also like what they did on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah.
Because they got
Montez Sweat.
They got Montez Sweat to go on the opposite side of
Kerrigan.
To go off on the opposite side of Kerrigan. So they're really in a pretty good position, but Haskins has to hit. There's $30 million in the quarterback position this season. He has to perform as a rookie.
I think he will. See, I think he might. He's going to be one of those guys going to come out and he's going to start off like Rocky. I believe so.
I could see that.
But I think as he gets more starts and he starts to learn, he's a film junkie, so he's going to learn. He's going to learn how they play. I mean, he's probably going to figure out like some. He's probably going to make that throw that he thought he could make in college and it gets picked.
Yeah.
I
think he's going to have a few of those.
Yeah,
because he was. I mean, we talked about this on, like, we just vomited it like crazy. He never hit the receiver he was supposed to.
Yeah,
so he can't miss like that at the NFL level. Those guys in college, he can miss with because they'll go off their hands or they just won't be in the right position.
Yeah,
these guys at the NFL level defensively, he's gonna turn the ball over more in his first year than he's ever turned the ball over at Ohio State.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think you're gonna see a very one-to-one touchdown to interception ratio for him in his rookie season.
Washington still has a pretty good line, though.
They got
a good line over there.
Agreed. And as long as they can kind of do what they did in L.A. to protect Goff with running the football and the play action.
Yeah.
And he's got you have Jordan Reed as your, like, safety.
Yeah.
Like, that's huge. That's huge. So he has the opportunity to really be set up for success, but I think he's going to lose some games for the Redskins just because, you know, I don't think that he's going to adjust as quickly as he should to the NFL level.
He's only a one-year starter.
He's a day one starter.
But he's only a one-year starter in the college, so of course he's going to have some issues, but I think that him being with familiar concepts, it's going to be easier for him.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think he might perform. He'll perform
better. I will give him the better rookie year than Kyler Murray.
Oh, I can't. I don't know.
I'll do that right now.
Because Kyler Murray's going to run.
I'll do that right now.
All right. I think I'm going to say he's going to have a better week 12 through 17.
12?
Like, yes.
Marcus, week 8.
You're going to start at week 8?
Week 8 to 17.
Yes. I mean, I really see that, though. I see that since he's,
I'll agree. He's already in this concept. Once he gets comfortable and he's in, he's going to have a tough beginning of the year. But I would agree with you. I think the Redskins will get a late push, but they'll miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think they'll get a late push,
but there'll
though.
Be buzz for yes. him and getting the he'll sit, keep
for year
Gruden
two.
Will keep his job.
Yeah,
and they'll keep.
I completely agree.
So I really see that for Haskins. I think he landed in the best spot possible.
Agreed. He has. Yeah. There's no doubt. He is in the best place possible of any quarterback that was drafted this year.
Yeah,
he's 100%. In the best scenario.
I agree with that. All right. So let's go to the next quarterback. We got Drew Lock, who went to the Broncos, almost to your Packers. Which have been would have been.
I'm not going to address it. I'm not going to address it. We're going to leave that one there. I'm not addressing it. Nope. Not gonna let that happen. No, we're not going there. I don't need that. I don't need that stress in my life.
Oh man.
I don't need that.
Packers.
We already had enough stress.
Packers
in the
Nation would have erupted.
We already had enough stress in the off season.
Yeah,
I don't need to do this. I don't need to do
this. They would have stormed the building.
Like Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers was. That was a stressful 6 years. I don't need it again. I don't need it again.
They would have stormed. They would.
I don't need it again. He went to Denver. It's Flacco's problem.
Oh.
Flacco's the one that's going to sit there going, come on, again? Because to be honest, I thought Flacco was going to have a season that was better than his last three seasons combined.
You think so?
I still believe that he's going to come out and have a big year. I think what's going to happen is exactly what happened to Alex Smith in Kansas City.
I don't think Joe Flacco's that good. So you're higher on Joe Flacco than I am.
I think he's situational. I'm not saying
that you've always been higher.
I'm not going to say that he's going to take them to the AFC Championship game. I'm just going to say they got him a tight end. He's got Emmanuel Sanders on the outside. That's probably the best receiver he's ever thrown the ball to.
Okay, who's like 31, 32?
Not in bad shape. The defense isn't in bad shape.
Yeah, okay.
I think Flacco statistically has a better season than he has had in the last three seasons.
I don't think so. I think they start like 2-5 and he gets benched and they play Drew Lock the rest of the year.
Oh, he has no room to screw up. Zero.
They're gonna start like 2-5.
I will agree with you completely. If he goes down 1-2 games where he's just bad, he's done.
Especially since they're not playing in Denver in September, I don't think. They'll definitely start 2-5.
He's done. If he starts off in a slump, it's over. But I think that if he gets to play the year out, statistically, it's his best season in the past 3 years. This fourth year, it's the best year that he's had in 4 years.
He's not going to make it out, though, Chris. I'm going to tell you that Flacco, his YPA, career YPA, is like 6.3. Which means he doesn't throw the ball downfield. So even if Emmanuel Sanders.
No. He throws the ball downfield. He's just the only receiver that he's ever had to be able to go get it is Mike Wallace. He's the only one that's been able to go
get it. He still didn't throw it downfield, Chris. I'm just telling you, Joe Flacco is 34.
He's going Mile High
State. He's not changing.
He's throwing 80 yard bombs.
We've seen this before, Chris. Joe Flacco is Joe Flacco. He's 34. He's not going to have a career year. There's no more career years.
I didn't say career year. I said better than the last three seasons. I didn't say career year, Marcus.
I don't even know.
I think about like 5, 6, 7 years ago, there was an argument where he could be a top 10 quarterback. But within the more recent
which
history.
Was ridiculous because
no, at that point in time, I think it was a justified argument.
It's
because
he won a Super Bowl.
But it's a justified argument. It's a justified argument. Now, no, I don't feel that way at all.
Not at all.
I don't feel that way at all. But I'm telling you, if he has the if he doesn't go into just a giant slump at the beginning of the year and gets his butt benched, he will have statistically the best season that he's had than the last three seasons combined.
I just don't see. I really see them starting like 2-5 and Drew Lock playing the rest of the year.
That's very probable. It's very probable.
But
if Flacco gets to play it out, that's a division, man. The AFC West is a division.
Well, yeah, so I want to see, you know, I'm interested in Lock's fit there. Want to see how he runs that offense that they're going to run.
Is this another?
He's not under center guy.
And that's exactly. So
that's
here's,
the offense
this,
they're going to be running.
You're reading my mind, Marcus. You're reading my mind.
Yeah.
Is this, are they in the same situation that they were, what was it, 2 years ago?
Magic Paxton Lynch.
Uh-huh. Is this the same guy?
I mean, no, Drew Lock is a lot, character-wise. Way better
character-wise. But Paxton Lynch was a talent, a big guy.
Yeah, but his character is terrible. So that was his thing. I think Drew Lock has a way better character that he could at least be a top 20 quarterback.
Oops.
I think he could do that.
Okay.
If he puts it together and reaches his ceiling, I think he can have some good seasons if you put a good team around him.
Okay.
He needs better feel in the pocket. I mean, that's nothing to do with anything, but I mean, nothing to do with anything around him.
I am a little nervous about
he likes to
being
fade.
In Denver and trying to run everything out of shotgun. That does make me nervous.
Oh, they're not running shotgun. They don't run shotgun in Denver.
No, I know, but he's a shotgun guy.
He's gonna have to learn. That's probably what they think.
That kills me. That Marcus, that kills me more than anything else in the entire world. I mean, these kids don't know how to play from underneath the center.
It can't be that hard, right? It can't be that hard to learn to take a snap, right?
Yeah, but if you botch it, then it's in your head. You're gonna kickers are nut jobs. A quarterback that drops a few snaps under center, that jams a few fingers under center.
Yeah,
he's a nut job.
Okay.
If you can't overcome it, you're screwed.
I still think Locke is going to be, he has a chance to be a good quarterback. That's his ceiling. I don't know if it'll ever be great. He might. He has a big arm. That's what I'm saying. Like, if, because he's going to have a good preseason, I think.
They always have a good preseason.
Not always. I mean,
they're playing against the twos and the threes. They always have
a good
preseason.
But he will, because like, he's a good character guy. So like I'm saying, he's going to be prepared. He's going to go into preseason, know the playbook. He's going to know it. I mean, his teammates around him that he's playing with are not going to, like, he's still going to go like 10 for 19 because he's playing with twos. But you're going to see some great throws and some great,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
He's going to be a grinder. He's going to get in there and learn everything.
Sure. Yeah, Joe's got no room for error. No room for error.
No room. Because let's just say he has two good preseason games. And
they'll already be barking. Listen, this is put it in stone now. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
He's going to have a good preseason because all rookie quarterbacks at that level, when they come out swinging, they come out swinging.
Yeah, the high character ones, they always come out looking halfway decent.
They put the time in.
Yeah,
they're playing with guys that they're more talented than.
Exactly.
Like it's a college audition. I mean, they're playing college in preseason.
Yeah,
they're playing college.
Or AAF.
They were successful at that level. They're playing against these guys. They're gonna be successful. He's gonna have a lot of hype coming out of the preseason.
Uh-huh.
It's just put it in stone. Write it down. Just check the boxes. It's happening. Flacco has no room for error.
None. And I feel bad for him because he's not. I don't know if he's playing in Denver, but I know he's not playing Week One in Denver because they're playing against the Raiders. And usually, what happens with the Broncos is that they play in Denver in September, and they're like they haven't lost there in like
everybody freaks
like,
out
like
early.
10 years. Everybody so they always start off 4-0.
Yeah.
Because people can't play in Denver in September. No. It's like crazy. Because even like, I know the Chiefs went in there and won in September, but that was a tough game for them. That wasn't like no easy game.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat the Seahawks last year. Yeah. We're playing in Denver. That's a boost for them.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he's getting that this year. I don't know if he's getting it. He needs it.
He needs it.
Flacco really needs it.
He needs it.
Oh, man. But
who's next?
The next quarterback taken. It is actually Will Greer to the Carolina Panthers, which is very interesting.
Yeah, they found their next quarterback.
Oh, my God, Chris. I know you're going to do that. Well, I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Cam Newton just had his worst season.
He did not have his worst season. He was off to his best season started. He had his best start to a season, and then he got hurt, Chris.
Well,
was off to his best season statistically. He was throwing like 68% of his passes.
Yeah, because it's 2 yard passes.
It doesn't matter where they're going.
Whatever, Marcus.
he's cleaning his passes. He wasn't throwing a lot of picks. But then you know,
the shoulder.
He has bad shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had surgery on both his shoulders now.
We'll see.
No. He's had surgery on his throwing shoulder twice.
This is going to be very interesting to see how Cam
Newton 30 years old.
Comes back. Because, yeah, he's well into his second contract.
I think he might have, what, like 2 years left probably?
If he keeps playing the way that he does, absolutely.
But if it's your throwing shoulder, I mean, Cam Newton is a power thrower. He's not an accurate thrower. He's a dude that
has the most unconventional windup and throw.
He's a power thrower. So he's going to throw it through.
He already has problems with his mechanics, and I'm sure that that's caused a lot of wear and tear on his shoulder.
Yeah.
To weaken it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy gets knocked around like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a bad place physically. He's in a bad place physically.
He is.
So it's really going to be interesting to see how he rebounds, if he rebounds, how he's going to handle everything, because he doesn't handle things well mentally. You see it in the way that he handles himself post-game.
Yeah.
You see it with everything that happens. He's got a bad rap on the outside of the field.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got a bad rap on the field, too.
I don't know about that, Chris. We do always disagree about Cam.
I'll tell you what, though. I did really enjoy that clip of him in the red zone against the Packers.
Yeah.
And Clay Matthews calling out, "It's the wheel route. It's the real route. It's the wheel route." And he goes, "Oh, you've been watching tape? Oh, you've been watching tape? Watch this."
Yeah.
And then he throws a touchdown. I loved that. I really did.
Yeah.
Like, I'll admit that. That's one that I thoroughly enjoyed that. Hat off to Cam Newton. That was phenomenal.
Yeah.
That was absolutely phenomenal.
That was when they were rolling, but then he got hurt again. God, that's what I'm saying. So that pick of Will Greer.
That's a big pick.
And
Marcus, you had him in your top five.
Yes, I did. I think
we liked him all through his beginning of the season at West Virginia. We wrote him off after the Senior Bowl. But we liked him all season long.
If you stick to his tape, he's a really accurate quarterback. He really is. He's a really accurate quarterback. I think that if he gets a chance.
You know
not
I really
year
like?
One, not year one, not you know, year one. But I mean, even if this year, I think if Cam gets hurt, he's probably gonna be up because Tyler Haney can't beat him out.
No, he's their future. That this pick, especially as early as I don't want to call it as early as it was, but as an organization to decide to go to a quarterback right there, where they made that pick, that's saying something.
I mean, because he can probably project to a starter.
Absolutely.
Down the road.
I give it three. If Cam's got 3 years, he's got 3 years to turn the boat around. If he doesn't do that.
I think he got 2 years left. I think he's got
left. This is it. I don't see Carolina giving him another contract unless he really puts it together.
Yeah.
He's not going to get another contract.
I think
from
he
the
retires,
Panthers.
Bro. Like, I don't even think he's going to get the next contract.
You don't even
contract.
Think he's going
to
try?
I think he's going to have to retire. Just come wear and tear like he's Steve McNair.
Wow.
Like on some Steve McNair type of stuff.
Wow.
Because Steve McNair retired pretty early, too.
No, McNair made it to Baltimore. McNair was around for
he was drafted in.
He was around for a while.
He did sit out his first four seasons, though.
Oh, wow.
I forgot about that, yeah.
I mean, McNair was around for a little while. that's the position Greer's basically in.
Yeah.
He'll be sitting for two, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He might see the field year three.
Yeah.
And if not, he'll be in a good position to get his second contract. And Carolina can keep him on the cheap. If they don't have to play him for the first three seasons, they can keep him on the cheap for the second contract for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be in a great position as an organization because you're paying a guy like McCaffrey. And you're paying guys to come in and be the offensive line. They've set themselves up very well for the potential in the next 5 years for what the team can be on both sides, on the Cam Newton side, if he takes off and his career continues to progress, or if it doesn't.
Yeah.
You've got a guy that is, you graded him a first round talent, right?
I wouldn't say first round.
But in, I mean, he was, he was in your top five conversation. He's a day two talent. So, two, three, I mean, where he fell third round, right?
Yeah, so like, yeah, so, right around third round, I would say I would say I had late second on him.
I would think that's a fair grade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got a guy that you don't – there. I think Carolina is a good spot at the quarterback position.
100%. I think
this is the best I've ever felt about them for a while.
Because I think he's going to get a chance to see the field this year.
You think this year?
I think Cam's in trouble, man. Two shoulder surgeries – in 2017 and 2019 on the same shoulder. Like, he should sit out the whole season or something. Like, I feel like he shouldn't play this year. Like, you really going to try to come back and then run people over?
He's coming back. We're going to see how he plays. But I bet you he doesn't change his mentality.
He can't.
He won't. Well, you're right. He can't. He doesn't have the mechanics to be able to.
He can't, man. That's his game. Like, and that's what they were rolling last year. They're running the ball. He's dumping it off.
Well, Norv Turner finally got something to click for him to get the ball out of his hands and into his playmakers.
But they were still running him a lot, though. They were running him a whole lot more than they were the year before.
But that's what it was. That's where they were successful. Carolina's successful running the football and playing defense.
But, you know,
that's where they're successful.
It is odd season, Cam. And for some reason, Cam Newton's only good on odd seasons. I never understood that with him. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, because he has a bad year and he goes, oh, man, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. And then he comes back and he does great. And he's like, yeah, see, I'm the best. And then next season when he thinks he's the best, and then he gets humbled and he goes, well, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that.
Yeah. 2011, he throws 4,000 yards. 2013, they make the playoffs. 2015, they go 15-1, make the Super Bowl. 2017, they go 11-5, make the playoffs. And, like, he misses the playoffs like every. That is the weirdest stat that I have for him. So maybe I shouldn't be doubting Cam because it's 2019. Maybe it's 2020 is when he goes down.
Well, they're in a good spot with their backup
for sure.
They're in a good spot.
Will Greer is an upgrade from Tyler Heineke.
This is the first time that they can be comfortable since they had Derek Anderson.
I don't know. Kyle Allen did go like 14-14 his last his last start. Kyle Allen, man. Kyle's like, come on, coach. You didn't see me go 14-14 last game.
They might need to keep three quarterbacks on the roster. That's true. Really keep getting
that's
hurt.
True. He's probably like, come on, coach. That's fine.
How we doing?
Rough 15 minutes.
All right.
So we're doing good.
Should we drop one more quarterback?
I mean, we can talk about Ryan Finley a little bit. He went to the Bengals. I wonder if he...
We can joke about McSorley being...
Trace McSorley.
With the Ravens.
Got drafted over a bunch of guys that I thought should at least get drafted over him.
I thought he was going to make it to the XFL, man.
He's not, man.
He's not telling the XFL. XFL. I'm sorry. I made it.
Those XFL scouts.
I got there.
I know you really liked
their game plan is shot. Everything we laid out in that episode about the XFL setting themselves up, it's over.
It's gone.
It was all based on McSorley. It's done.
It's gone. What else? Are we talking about Josh Rosen to the Dolphins?
Oh, yeah, we have to. How the Cardinals got jobbed. Because they didn't do a good job of trying to play Rosen the way that they should have.
Yeah, the Dolphins really, really screwed them over. They screwed themselves over. Like, who go?
No,
who
that's goes, that's all. On,
this is the
fact.
Time.
The fact that they did not trade. So I understand not trading him before you draft Kyler Murray, because you still have some time in the first round to be aggressive with trying to trade him.
Yeah,
there's still a way to do that. By the time Haskins was picked at 15, they lost all of the value.
I think they should have traded Rosen in March or April before he showed up to voluntary workouts.
I think that you trade him the week of the draft or before you make the pick, before you make that first round pick, day of. He had to go before you took the number one pick.
Yeah, and
he had to get any type of value
back.
They
couldn't get
for
any
him.
Suitors at that point. It was
no,
late.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that
they just couldn't get a first.
They were holding out that they were going to get a first, and 3 weeks before the draft, I think we were discussing this, the value that was being tossed around for Rosen because of how poor the first season was, they were going to get a third round pick tops.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got an upgrade with getting a second and a fifth. But at the same time, I think that there was more value. You could have gotten, I think they could have gotten a one. I really do.
I don't think so.
I really do. I think if they would have played it correctly, they didn't spin anything. Everybody knew that Kime was taking Murray. You got to do a better job pre-draft. Like, they released everything. Oh, well, Quentin Williams is still in consideration. Oh, well, we haven't made a decision on who we're taking at one. Everybody knew who they were taking at one.
Yeah.
There was no leverage on their side to make anybody feel uneasy about the process to make them say, I have to get Rosen from you because I don't know what you're going to do at the draft.
Yeah.
And you could steal somebody that somebody else wanted. There was nothing that the organization did to make Rosen be the value that he could have been. He's going to make them pay. He's going to be really good in Miami.
I think Kime just did a terrible job with this.
I agree.
He did terrible. Washington laughed at them when they asked for a first. Washington laughed. I know Chris Greer kind of worked him. He worked him pretty well. He worked Kime really, really big time. But Rosen, because, you know, after they couldn't get a one, Chris, I read this on Sports Illustrated, they couldn't get a one. So what they were going to keep Rosen. They were going to keep him.
Could you imagine?
And like,
what an awful decision that would have been.
And Rosen's agent was, and so Rosen's agent tells Rosen, hey, I think they're going to end up keeping you. He's like, that's cool. Kyler will be the backup, and I'll beat him out.
Mm-hmm. That would have been, honestly, for Rosen,
yeah,
that would have been great. I think you would have seen him. I mean, regardless of what could have happened and what did happen, mm-hmm. you're going to see Rosen excel at a very high level.
I think he's going to play better with Miami. I don't think the Miami line is that good still. It's pretty bad.
Yet. He's getting an upgrade.
Is he going to get a shot, though? How much of a shot is he going to get? Are they going to take the pain, or are you going to be like, dude, this is your second
year? No, they're going to take the pain. No. You don't. No.
They're
going
to come back and try to draft Tua or something.
No. I mean, well, okay, hold on. So let's think about this. He's a first-round pick.
Okay.
It's a four-year contract with a team option at five.
Yeah.
He's in year two.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't pan out this year, you've got 2 years left on the contract.
Yeah.
It's not the number one overall pick. It's the 10 pick, so it's 10 money.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. They could. There's enough on the financial side that you can give up on him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the smart move.
I think he's going to play better. I think he's going to play better.
I agree.
For sure.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
He's going to play better.
I completely agree with you. I think he's the trajectory for the Dolphins and that organization is in a better place
mm-hmm.
than it was for the Cardinals.
100%.
I think with it being a brand new situation, they basically got a first round quarterback for a second and a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like you drafted the quarterback in the first round. You can bring him through like that.
Yeah.
His value's there as a first round pick. I think as an organization, you can treat him that way.
Yeah.
And he'll get the buy-in from everybody too. I think they're in a really good situation, and I love their first round pick. I really love what they did going with
Christian Wilkins.
I really 13. Think that was a great decision for the organization. I think he's a high character, high motor guy.
I mean, all those Clemson guys are awesome.
That I think just you're going to see a culture change in Miami
mm-hmm.
with those two guys coming in there. And I think there's just a lot of positives going on for the organization that you'll see them push for a playoff run within the division.
Yeah.
But I think the AFC East just got a whole lot better.
See, I can't see the Dolphins pushing for a playoff run. I think that's crazy. I see them like 5-11.
Well, I think you see. I think
5-11 tops.
5-11.
Yep, that's me for the Dolphins. That's what I'm going with.
I'm gonna give them 7.
I also think the Jets are gonna go 6-10.
No way.
To the Jets.
No way.
They're the Jets. That's all I'm going to say.
Marcus.
They're the Jets, man. I don't want to hear it.
They have Leonard Williams and Quentin Williams up front.
Sam Darnold throws interceptions.
Hold up. They've got Mosley in the middle at linebacker position.
Okay.
You got Adams in the secondary. In the middle of the field defensively, they shut everything down.
Okay.
Teams are going to have to play them on the edge.
Okay. They got Le'Veon Bell.
They got Le'Veon Bell in the backfield. It's not all on Darnold. They still need to get better at the wide receiver position, but they're good at the tight end position.
6-10, man. I am not going with the Jets and try to ride that Jets wave until I see it.
Well, there's the AFC East just got so much better. Because then you got in Buffalo. You got Ed Oliver.
Exactly. Cody Ford
at tackle for Allen.
I believe more in Buffalo making the playoffs than I do the Jets making the playoffs. 100%. One, Sam Darnold's learning a brand new offense again. This is not the same.
Yeah, but
guy.
But the thing,
Josh Allen is going through the same offense again. You can say whatever you want to say about Josh Allen. He's about to run the same offense again. It's his second year in the offense.
Yeah,
he's got a way better team on paper than the Bills, and the Bills are a way better coach team on paper. They overachieved last year. They shouldn't have won no six games last year.
Agreed.
Or they won.
I completely agree with you.
They overachieved the year before. Shouldn't have made the playoffs the year before. I think the Bills are they're the team that I'm worried about sneaking in and stealing a wild card spot.
Well, the AFC East, and not just the AFC East. Well, you got Allen, you got Rosen, and you got Darnold.
Yeah.
All in the same division.
I know.
And then Baker's, and he's right there with them in the AFC North. I'm really excited just for the quarterback play in the AFC this year.
I'm not scared of the Jets. I expect the Raiders to go.
I'm sorry. I think the Jets are gonna do better. They're gonna do better than you think. I believe that you're not gonna see a 12-win Patriots team.
I think we will, man.
I think that division's gonna beat each other up. I think that division's gonna
maybe
beat each other
Bills
up.
Beat the. I mean, maybe they. You know, Tom this Brady goes to Miami and loses. That makes sense.
This isn't Tom Brady going on the road and coming away with a victory anymore. I think you can almost say in the division, if you're the home team, you're going to get the win.
I think you're riding too hard for the AFCs. I'm
really impressed with what they've done.
I have to see it.
I'm really impressed with what all four of those teams have done. Because then our boy N'Keal Harry went over there
to New England.
Oh my goodness.
That's going to be very good for
him. Very good for him. Tom Brady's not going to be checking it down so much anymore.
That's true.
It's gonna be really impressive. I'm excited. I'm really excited for what the next year is gonna bring, and especially at the quarterback position. Really excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. All right, Chris, we're at an hour. You got anything else? Any other details you want to talk about? Nothing.
No, I'm gonna leave it. We're gonna leave it right there. I think I'm looking forward to what the rest of the offseason is gonna bring.
I just wanted to laugh at all the Derek Carr rumors that people have spread.
Oh my God, Marcus!
They didn't even draft one guy.
They're gonna take a quarterback at four.
They didn't even draft
Gruden's
a quarterback.
Taking a quarterback at four.
It was all
smoke.
I bet Gruden is thinking Mike Glennon might be the replacement. That's what type of guy Gruden is. I love me some Mike Glennon.
He loves everybody, man.
I think Glennon could. If Carr goes down, I think we could win with Mike. All right, guys. Make sure you subscribe to on iTunes. A Little Pocket Awareness, Spotify, download A Little Pocket Awareness. Make sure to follow me at the Mark John NFL, Chris at King Menelos. Make sure to hit us up there. Keep following us. Keep following the podcast. Like I said, once again, subscribe on iTunes. Download on Spotify.
We never steer you wrong.
You know, check this out, this draft coverage. We might do a little bit more stuff in the summer. We're in the slow football time.
Yeah, we might, you know, maybe we need to just, you know, let everything just play out.
Yeah,
let a few things play out. But it was important. It was important to let you know that we were right.
Exactly.
We were right.
Right all the time.
We just nailed it.
Nailed it. All right, so we're out.